Chapter 22. I changed my mind and did not ask Sadasa Sylvia out for dinner. Instead, I took off early and drove directly back down to Orange County and home. My mind remained on the new item on what Sadasa had said. The whole situation frightened and appalled me. Put very simply, I had come to regard Vallis and the AI operators along the communications network as divine, which meant they were not subject to mortal death. One does not blow up God. Here, however, were my wife and my best friend nattering at me that the source of my divine help had been pinpointed, satellite orbiting Earth, beaming down information, and caught in the act now by the USSR's leading astrophysicist, their great scientific sleuth, Earth's cosmic cop, armed with radio telescopes, counter-satellites with warheads, and God knew what else. As thrilling as the thought was, that an extraterrestrial intelligence from another star system had put one of their vehicles into orbit around our planet and was beaming down covert information to us, it reduced something limitless to a finite reality, vulnerable to ordinary hazards. The entity I had assumed to be omniscient and omnipotent was about to be shot out of the sky, and with it, I realized, went the possibility of deposing Ferris Fremont. When the Soviets, no doubt operating in conjunction with our more sophisticated tracking stations, brought down the ETI satellite, the hopes of free men in both nations died. Unless, of course, there was no connection between the newly discovered satellite and my experiences. But as both Rachel and Phil had already noticed, it was too much of a coincidence. It was too close. God, I thought, I've been doing what it told me for years. Moving down to Southern California, going to work for Progressive Records. What am I going to do when they shoot it down? What'll my life be built around? But then I thought, maybe Vallis will install another satellite in its place. He could do that. With his foresight, he would know the Soviet intentions long in advance, from the start, in fact. You cannot take him by surprise. Or maybe you can. It is possible, I said to myself as I tailgated a big truck into the right-hand lane, that the satellite has done its job, already transmitted everything in its banks. But I'm used to hearing its voice, that lovely AI voice, informing me, comforting me, helping me. Look what it did for Johnny. Look what it had done for me. To be deprived of that. What else have I got to live for? I asked myself. What else did I ever have to live for? My relationship with Rachel isn't all that much. I love my son, but I see him so rarely. My work is important, but not that important. Something such as I have had, to hear that AI voice, it is worse to lose it than it was good ever to have had it. It hurts so much. Pain of loss, I thought, the greatest pain in the world. My friend will one day soon cease talking with me. That day lies imminently ahead, as surely as the fact that right now the USSR is preparing to launch an intercept satellite. The worldwide tyranny has spotted its enemy and now moves. The big blind engine is being cranked up. When they blow that satellite out of the sky, I realized, they might as well blow me out of the sky as well. Being rescued from that shoe-ad letter accomplishes nothing now. All the help, all the knowledge and insight, all the coaching and guiding. Down the rat hole, for nothing, gone. And not just for me, for everybody who wanted a just society, who wanted to be free. For those who heard the AI voice and those who did not, our fate is the same. The one friend we had will one of these days be wiped away as if it never existed. I felt the decay of the universe as I drove along the freeway, coldness and illness and final oblivion. I suppose, I said to myself, I could rationalize it and say that because of Vallis's help I have met a nice new girl, attractive and smart, with a life expectancy measured in inches. We have been brought together just in time to go up in smoke. Plans, hopes, dreams, all reduced to smoke. Particles of a satellite which came here to be destroyed, the same as us. Born to be blown up. The hell with it all, I thought wretchedly. Better not to have started this, or tried. Better not to have even known help existed. To have imagined something happier for us in our lives. When you attack a tyranny, you must expect it to fight back. Why not? Why shouldn't it? How could I, with some idea of its nature, expect anything else? An H-warhead for the ETI satellite, cancer for Sadasa Sylvia. If the shoe-ad trap had worked, prison for me, prison or death. Meditating about this, I did not comprehend, or maybe I comprehended well enough and didn't care, that the truck ahead of me had slowed. Its brake lights came on. I didn't notice. I kept on going in my little VW Bug, right on into the tail assembly, the huge iron rear bumper of the truck. I heard nothing and felt nothing. No concussion or shock. All I saw was my windshield turn into a billion broken Coke bottle bottoms. A strange pattern like a giant spiderweb engulfing me. Fallen into the spiderweb, I remember thinking, to be eaten later. The spiderweb, but where is the spider? I thought. Gone away. Liquid had spilled over my neck and chest. It was my own blood.